Okay, today is May 3rd, 2019, and this is Karen Brewster, and I'm here with Sue Apley at her home in Dayton, Wyoming. Thank you for letting me come visit you today.
Sure.
And this is for the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park Oral History Project. And Sue, I know that you worked on the Skagway Historical Commission for a long time. Right, but before we get to that, let's get you to Skagway. How did you end up in Skagway?
Oh my. Well.
And when?
I got to Skagway in 1991. I actually managed to come over on New Year's Eve, 1990, 91.
Right.
And I met the whole town. We had dinner at the Eagles and a dance at the Elks, and everybody was there. I met the whole place. And the next morning, the darling guys over at the ferry terminal called me up and said, "Didn't you mean to be on this ferry today?" I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, the wind's blowing really hard and we can't hold it, so run down here and jump on." Like, okay. Off I went. I had taken a news reporter working for Alaska Public Radio stations. And I had, something had happened. I've been in several of them. I had been in Wrangell and Petersburg. And then I started doing short-term stints because all the stations needed news people. And I got to go all sorts of places with that. Spent a couple of months in Kodiak doing the fish report. And my last little stint was in Haines.
Okay.
And Skagway didn't have a reporter right then. And they hired somebody, and he showed up with, and he was a black man, and he had a license plate that said Loverboy, and he only lasted 3 weeks, and then he was gone. He just disappeared in the night one day, one time. And so I was trying to cover Skagway from Haines, but my 3 months was almost up with them, and I had a chimney fire, and said, "You know, give me that job over in Skagway, because I'm not staying here any longer," and convinced them, and they did.
And so what's your background? Where are you from originally?
I grew up in I was born in Chicago and grew up in Tennessee. We moved when I was 7 down to Tennessee. And the first Christmas, I got to go outside in shorts on Christmas Day. And I went to school at Sullins College, which doesn't exist anymore. It's a girls' school in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee. And I went up to Springfield, Massachusetts for my 3rd year. And then I got married. And finally, it was his idea. We got divorced, but it was his idea to go out west. And we took a Christmas vacation or a summer vacation and did all that. And so I moved to Montana. And from Montana is where I learned to do radio. Mm-hmm. And it was real expensive there. So I started.
You said you lived in Bozeman?
In Bozeman. And it was real expensive there, and I started looking for another job. I'd graduated from college. I'd gone back a little while to try to get my master's and a teaching certificate. But what I wanted to do for my project was a radio show. And my advisor said, "There is no place for entertainment in education." So that was the end of that. And I was like, okay, fine. So I moved up to Missoula and had a job at commercial radio there. I was the first woman on commercial radio in Bozeman. I was the first woman on commercial radio in Missoula.
Wow.
And
that was in what year?
That was in 78.
Okay.
77 and then 78. And Missoula stunk in the middle of the night. because of the pulp mills.
Oh.
2 o'clock in the morning, still stink.
Wow.
So I was looking in radio and records, and my sister lived in Hawaii and suggested I just come over there. And I told her she had false seasons in Hawaii. And I had all my winter clothes, so I found a job in Dillingham, Alaska.
Oh.
And I went straight there. Do not stop in Anchorage. Do not, you know.
And it was a radio job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was public affairs for KDLG in mm-hmm. Dillingham. And agreed to stay there till July 1st, I think it was. And July 2nd, I was on a plane out of there. The weather in Dillingham at that point, every 3 weeks it changed. So for 3 weeks, it would thaw. And then for 3 weeks, it would freeze. And for 3 weeks, it would thaw. And I was 2 miles out of town. And so when it was frozen, I could walk across the field, mm-hmm. which was permafrost.
Right.
And when it was thawed, then I had to walk all the way around. Right. So I didn't stay. And went back to Anchorage and worked for I forget what the name of the which rail radio it was, but it was out in Big Lake. And did some advertisements for the Department of Energy. We still had a Department of Energy mm-hmm. that time. Learned to figure out where I was in Anchorage by the four tall buildings. And what happened I got to Dillingham 2 days before the cutoff for the very first permanent fund dividend.
Hmm.
It was October 29th or something. But I passed a test as an energy auditor and got a contract and went to the Southeast and did Wrangell, Petersburg, Angoon, and Hoonah with energy audits. Ended up staying in Angoon for 3 years.
Wow.
Then I left there, went back to Wrangell, got a job at the radio station. I left there and went to Petersburg, had a job as a news person in Petersburg, ended up as manager in Petersburg. A good friend was an airplane pilot and he died. And after that, I quit my job. And that's when I started doing just stints,
right.
Short stints.
Okay. And then that gets us to Skagway.
And that got me to Skagway.
Okay. And now probably our tea water is maybe hot. That sounds like quite a long and varied radio career.
Yeah. It was. I did that 15 to 20 years. I never figured out exactly. I think it was about 15 or 17 years. And then I was over in Skagway. John was my first radio interview in Skagway.
Your husband, John.
Yes. That's how I met him. Then they fired me for refusing to move to back to Haines. They did that twice, I think.
Yeah, because the Haines and Skagway radio stations are all kind of under one umbrella.
Yes. The main station is over in Haines. And there's a Haines-Skagway rivalry mm-hmm. that's always been there. So they figured that they were the most important ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't move back. I didn't even want to go for a short time. So, got me to 93. And in 93, then I quit them for the last time. And bought a store. Glenda Choate
mm-hmm.
had Miss Kitty's something.
Miss Kitty's Buttonhole.
No, that was mine.
That was yours. Oh.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll ask John when he comes in. He'll remember. But it was the Cribs right. down the alley from the AB Hall. And she was getting out of it. And then she started another store down the street for a short while. John came up with the name Buttonhole, Miss Kitty's Buttonhole.
Because it was Miss Kitty's being referring to the Cribs. For people who don't know, the Cribs were where, in the Gold Rush time, the prostitutes would be, right?
Right. So we told those stories all the time. And
you have some photos.
I went and looked this morning.
Okay.
And we put Madeline out front.
Oh, on the mannequin.
Yes.
I see.
And
she is dressed like a Gold Rush prostitute, I would assume.
See the front?
All right.
And
With bloomers on the...
bloomers hanging there.
Yeah.
And eventually I got two more mannequins. They were standing up, and they were one was right in front of the sign, and mm-hmm. the other one was back a little bit further. Because it got so... We were down the alley, and when the people got off the cruise ships, and starting in 93, it was still a lot of seniors that were traveling the cruise ships. There mm-hmm. weren't as many kids, young people. It was older folks that were taking the cruise ships. I had a lot of people ask me for senior discounts. I was like, no. But they'd come up the street, and they'd walk right by the alley and not even look, not notice.
And this alley is between which streets?
It's off Broadway. The AB Hall is right across the street.
Also between.
So it's the first block up.
Okay.
So Second Street is really that's the first
where,
one.
Right, that's where the depot is.
Right, and this is between Second and Third.
Okay.
And, but if one person turned and looked and headed down my way, then they would all come. And so we tended to open up the back door.
This one?
This or one.
That one. The end of the building.
This one.
Okay.
The end of the building. We had that one covered up. So the end of the building. So they'd walk all the way through and then come back around the side. So they'd play with the mannequins sometimes.
I'm sure they took lots of pictures in front of the mannequins.
Yes. And most of what I sold was hats.
Uh-huh.
Hats come one small, two medium, two large, one extra large. There's six hats in a box. They don't weigh a lot to freight them up. That's good. I only sold brimmed hats. I sold every different kind of brimmed hat that I could find. Because that's what the men wore mm-hmm. when they came up. They were all wearing hats at that time.
Right.
And they, from wherever they lived, they'd be wearing different kinds of hats. So we had every different kind of hat.
That so this was the sort of keeping with the Gold Rush theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the psychology of watching the couples when the man decides he's going to buy a hat. And the woman has to stand there as he tries everything on. And it's a real psychology that's going on between the two. And I met a guy who runs a hat store in San Francisco. And he was a psychology major. And he would take his class over to the hat store to work, to interact with people and watch what was mm-hmm. going on. It was pretty interesting.
So what would be sort of the standard practice, what was going on?
Either they were supportive or they were not. Or they'd turn around and go into the back room and look at the women's clothing and the lingerie. I had lingerie in the back. And I had a few women's hats, but not so many. Because I figured that wasn't going to go on a trip like that. Because they were all supposed to be big. And
right.
Yeah.
I was thinking that the women sitting there waiting for their husband to buy a hat would be comparable to men going with their wives dress shopping.
Yes, well, there were no chairs to sit down in.
Uh-huh.
There was only 500 square feet in there.
Yeah.
And I'd taken up some of it with my stuff. This is This is a picture of my mom. She came to visit. But I had an old dresser with the big mirror and the low cut.
Like a dressing table.
Yeah, like a dressing table was there with different nicks and knickknacks here and some antique looking jewelry and stuff. So they could poke around in the rest of the store, or they could stay right there and harass their husbands.
And did most of the men who got to the point of trying on hats end up buying them?
I sold more hats than anything else.
Really?
Yeah. More than 50% of my sales were on hats.
So even if the wives...
And I refused to sell ball caps.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, yeah. But the wives, even if they didn't support them, that men ended up buying them mm-hmm. as they got to the trying on stage.
Cool. Well, the trying on stage happens as soon as you walk in the door. Whether they're going to buy them or not, they were trying them
right.
on.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes we dressed up the gals, because these were all things that we were selling.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gal in, she was in North Carolina or Virginia, making period clothes.
Neat.
And so I had a good rapport with her going on. And what's this picture? Who are these people? I don't know. Well, that's from the house.
When we're done, if you don't mind, I'd like to take pictures of these pictures.
Sure.
Because they go nicely with the interview, especially of the building.
Sure.
To see what it looked like then.
I had a little issue with the Park Service.
Okay.
I wanted to paint the red.
Okay. So it's a white building with red trim.
Yes.
And this originally, though, it looks like it was brownish trim.
Yes. I got them to change it to red. It was time to paint the building. And I said, okay, well, this is what I want. And they were like, what? No. You can't. And I said, of course. I was like, you know they'd paint it red if they had red. They didn't paint anything at all. So if they had red, they would have painted it red. I had geraniums growing.
Where the sign... Oh, here, this one.
Yeah, right. Where the sign is. Yeah, right. I always put the red geraniums in there. But red is... the color red has the longest wavelength. You can see it further away than any other color. And I'm sure that women knew that, too. So... anything to catch somebody's eye as they're mm-hmm. walking by the end of my alley. But
so you had to fight with the Park Service?
Well, it wasn't really a fight, but I said, okay, I want to have white and red. And they said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, I love it. And we talked it out, and we looked at things, and we came up with this. And they painted it for me, and they admitted that it looked good.
Well, why did you have to go through the Park Service?
They were painting the building.
Was it their building?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Well, I'm wanting you to tell me the story of that. Yes.
Oh, well, Glenda was already in there. Glenda had the lease. Glenda Choate. And I bought the store from her. So when I bought the store, I just bought the right to the lease and the space.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think I got some amount of inventory from her, but not much.
But yeah, so this was an example of this was one of the buildings that the Park Service had purchased, fixed up, and were leasing back for local businesses.
Yes. And I don't know exactly when Glenda had it. I got to town in 91, and her store was already there. But it was always, the amount of time on the lease was always sort of fuzzy in my mind. And then Reed extended it for a year.
McCluskey
extended it for a year because it ended in July. And so he said, well, we'll just get it over.
So did you
winter.
Then have to apply for a lease on your own?
That's when I quit. That's when I killed Miss Kitty.
Oh.
And that's a whole other story.
Okay.
Yes. The store itself, I finally...
this is in an old
Model A.
Model A kind of truck car.
It's...
Or was it a Model A that he added the enclosure on the back?
Leppy, the leprechaun, got a hold of that, and he redid it, and he was building it, and I was fine with it until he painted it red and black. And I said, well, then I have to have it. So I got it, and I... Looks different to me. Hang on just a minute.
Okay.
We never put anything on there.
Oh, on the sign on the vehicle.
But I had forgotten all about that. But this is the picture that I'm used to.
Oh.
I sold it to her.
Who's that in the picture?
The gal I sold it to. And
all
she
dressed in
she took it down to California.
Ah.
And near... on the coast somewhere, and there was a big sale, and she took it out there and dressed like that to sell it. I think she did. I didn't hear from her again. But I parked this right where that is.
You parked the Model A in front of your store.
In front of the store, right behind the sign, and right behind the red geraniums, and that too pulled people down.
Right.
Some people would like to get in it, and I had some trouble with that, but yeah. It was another draw.
Yes. Well, my notes here say that Glenda...
Choate.
She leased the Verbowides building in 85-86.
Okay.
But that's a different building than this Miss Kitty's Buttonhole and the Cribs.
Well, they called the Verbowides building the building that was right in front of it.
Okay.
There's only a little walkway between the Verbowides and Miss Kitty's.
Okay, then I know where to, yeah.
And the Verbowides is where Casey McBride had his jewelry store.
Right, right.
And they might have, I think they tried to call it Verbowides Alley. They tried to call my building the Verbowides as well. But I insisted it was French Alley.
Right. Well, and say my notes from Carl do say it was a crib building.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that does match.
And it was two or three pushed together.
Right.
Buildings pushed together.
Right. Yeah, because originally those cribs were pretty small, little...
Big enough for a bed.
Right. That's all you needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in 93. So then how did you... When did you get on the Historical Commission?
I don't remember. Soon after that. I went to the HTC and got permission for my mannequins.
And HTC is the Historic District Commission? Is that
yeah.
What yeah.
And because there were rules. So I had done that right away in 93, so that when I opened the store that spring, Madeline was out there.
And they were okay with the use of mannequins?
Well, I told them that I was on a sidewalk that didn't go anyplace. And there was a rule that you couldn't have them out on the public right away.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, well, it's not really a private right away. It doesn't go anywhere except to my back door. And they said, oh, yeah, okay. Later on, I had some issues with the city manager who brought it back up again and tried to take him away from me, and I fought him and won because I already had my permission to have them.
Yeah, why would it matter to the city manager?
Because at that point I was on the HTC and I was stopping someone from getting what they wanted, who went to the city manager and complained, and he came back at me. And so, yeah.
So how, I don't know how to say this, as a local business operator, what was that like to have this commission deciding what you can and cannot do?
I went in and got permission for my mannequins, and that was okay. Later, then I got on the HDC itself, and there were rules that we tried to keep an eye on. We'd go out and walk the streets and look around. Mm-hmm. And we'd find people doing things that were like, wait a minute, you don't get to just do that. And sometimes on who it was. And there were some people who would tell you anything you wanted to hear in order to get through and get permission to do what they really wanted to do anyway. There was a lot more problem when the HDC decided that they were going to put restrictions on colors.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because we had one that was painted like McDonald's that we figured we better do that. You can't just tell somebody, you can't just count on someone, what do I want to say here? Not everybody thinks the same. Not everybody has the same judgment. Not everybody has the same things that they like. And we were trying to keep it looking like a historic town.
Right. And if you said just keep it Gold Rush colors, not everybody knew what that meant.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we tried to keep some of the darker colors. We tried to get enough variety that there were a lot of things in there. Turns out somebody came to us and they wanted to paint something white, and we didn't have white in there. I don't know how we missed that, yeah. But we didn't have white. So I guess I snuck something in when I did this one.
Yeah, because your building was white.
Because it's white, yeah. But Charlotte wanted to paint a little place next to Jim Hamilton's store. I think it's actually historic too. I can't remember what it was. She wanted to paint it white, and we're like, oh, it doesn't say that you can here.
Yeah, I mean, all those historic architects could tell you the research they've done on whether that paint existed back then or not.
And that's what we went by.
Yeah.
We took all the stuff from the Park Service that they had on the history and the colors and stuff, and tried to put a palette together for people to choose from.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody came in with a new business, how did they learn about these rules and that it was a historic district commission that they had to apply to?
It might be that they just went to the city. I went to the city here in Dayton and said, okay, I'm an accountant. I'd like to run my business out of my house. What do I have to do? And she said, no, nothing. I thought, oh, that's interesting. I came home and looked it up online for the state of Wyoming to make sure that was right, and it was. The accountants are exempt from all sorts of things. So my guess is that once they walked into City Hall in Skagway, they'd say, oh, you're a new business. Okay, you need to do this and this and this. Because they wanted to sign, everybody had to have a business license, which is how they got their sales tax forms.
Okay.
If they were in the downtown area, they would tell them immediately about the HDC and give them some ground rules. At one point, we had a book, and it had pictures in it. It talked about the community. It talked about the history. It showed what the... I don't know who wrote that. Glenda was part of it. But it showed... I don't think I have any more of those. It showed the different ways that the buildings were built. It showed... talked about roofs. It talked about doors and windows. All the structural things that were involved. And we... we upgraded it a couple of times, going through it and making edits and stuff and working with the city crew. And I don't remember when the last time it was that we did that. We knew it needed to be done again. And I think it was finally done again, and I think it was on CD. Mm. So it could be just handed out to somebody that way. I think that one, I'm sure Carl will have those someplace.
Yes. This is if, in that downtown historic core, there are buildings that the Park Service has purchased and mm-hmm. fixed up, mm-hmm. and they lease out to local business or to businesses. People apply. But then there are also buildings that are privately owned.
Yes.
Correct?
And this went for everybody.
Okay. And what if somebody wants to build a new building down there? Do they have to build it to look historic?
Yes. And they have.
They have.
When I got to town in 91, there must have been... Well, let's see. I counted them at one time. There were at least 11 vacant lots downtown, mm-hmm. and there aren't any more.
Right.
They're gone. They're all built. So, there was a lot of building going on during that 10 years or so, 20 years. And they'd all have to come to us, to the HDC, and we tried to take at least 2 meetings, if not 3, if there were questions, things that we'd watch. And most of the time, they were built according to what they told us they were going to do.
You say most of the time?
Most of the time, they were built according to what
they
said.
So, do you have an example of one?
I'll have to think about that for a little bit.
What they said they were going to do that they didn't? What would be an example of something that you'd say you were going to do and then you end up not doing it?
I have to think on that.
Okay.
That just sort of came out of my mouth, and I'm thinking
What would HDC do if, they said they were going to do something and then they didn't? They sort of violated their permit? Is that what...
There's not a lot you can do except go to... You're trusting the city person to inspect things as things go along. I know we had trouble with, I think it was Moe's. When Moe's went out of business and somebody bought that property and they were talking about, it was a nice old building. And they were tearing out a wall and connecting to the next building and making a big jewelry store in there. And they wanted to change the doorway. Is that the one that was on? I think they wanted to make an angled doorway, thinking that that would bring people in. And we had a big argument about the fact that the angled doorways were really only on corners, not alleys.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think we won, but it was a long fight. It's hard to remember how many different new buildings there were down there during that time. We watched them redo the Red Onion. We watched them redo the Trail Bench.
The Golden North?
Yes, well, that might have been one of those that was... we really couldn't say anything about what they did inside. All we could touch was the outside. And so that was kind of disappointing, what they did in the Golden North, changing it all around inside. They attempted to have
an outside eating area. They had a bar in there on one end, and they attempted to have an outside eating area. And so they told us what kind of fence and what kind of chairs they were going to have, and then they weren't at all. Some wrought iron thing that they came up with that didn't look at all, period. And so that was sort of an argument, but we didn't get anywhere with it.
Yeah, so
they'd already spent their money.
And the city inspector doesn't have any authority, or the historic commission doesn't have any authority at that point?
The historic district's authority has to go through the city employee. And I can't remember who we had first. We had somebody that was really good. They were always there. They were talking to us. They were in the meetings. They were helpful. We'd tell them we wanted something, and they'd go do it. They'd take care of everything for us. And that person left, and we got a new guy. I cannot remember his name. I probably don't want to remember his name. It was Shelby. Shelby's husband.
Do you remember the name of the guy who was so helpful?
No.
Okay.
I'd have to go back. I don't.
But anyway, this next one
But this next one really didn't want to work. They finally got rid of him. I complained to the mayor several times. He wouldn't listen to me. I was like, I'm telling you. And so then there was nothing we could do about anything. We had absolutely, you know, we could vote whatever we wanted to, and it really didn't help.
Yeah. So that must have been frustrating.
It was very.
And I know that there's one...
That got me off, finally.
Oh.
I finally just said, no, I'm not renewing, because the mayor wouldn't help. And the city manager wouldn't help. I'd been to both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, then what's the point of having a commission if you don't have any authority?
Yeah. Yeah. The Darlene policeman came in, and Ray Leggett came in and talked to us one time and told us that he wasn't going to give anybody a ticket for first offenses. Like, okay, there's, you know, there's these laws that are on the books. And he's like, so he was no help either.
Well, like first offenses for, like, parking in the wrong place, or?
First offenses for... having merchandise outside your store,
okay, right.
For hanging out signs that had never been approved, for, you know, simple little things like that, that it seemed to us that between the employee and the cops, they ought to just write a ticket and stop it right then.
Right.
Because... we would, at the end of each meeting, I mean, we had a regular agenda of stuff that was coming up for us. At the end of the meeting, we'd go around and say, who saw what? Is there something we need to attend to? And then we'd send the employee out to give them a warning or give them a ticket or something. And the employee would go and try to explain it to the people that, no, you can't do this. And then report to the cops so that the next time it happened, they'd take care of it.
I didn't realize that it could be enforceable with a ticket by the police.
It's written into the law that you can't do this, and that there are fines.
Right. And again, it's for these businesses that are like right on Broadway and a couple blocks.
The historic district goes from Second to.
8th? 10th?
Maybe 9th.
Actually, I have a map.
I'm trying to remember where they are, too.
I have sixth, a map in my car.
6th is the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And 7th is the Skagway Inn.
Right.
And 8th is... SOS and no, SOS must be across from the Skagway Inn.
So
well, they built something else on the next...
Past that?
Yeah, there's another block past that, yeah. So I think it would be to the 9th.
Okay. And then it's Broadway and State Street, or is it just Broadway?
It's just Broadway.
It doesn't go over to State? It
doesn't go to State.
Well, but the Portland House...
Portland House asked to be... It is included, but... The building across the street, the old Tanner House,
mm-hmm.
we used to live in Upper Tanner Manor, the Tanner House, which was Lemon Rose Bakery, was in there for quite some time. That's not in it, because when they laid it out, the people that owned it argued against it, and so it doesn't go that far.
Well, and then across the other way from the Portland House is the YMCA Meyer building that the Park Service is restoring,
and
but that's Park
not
Service
in it.
Building. So,
but they're not. But they're not in it. It doesn't go across State Street,
which I guess makes sense because State Street in West, is more residential anyway.
Yeah, on Second Street, it goes up to the large as far as the large. Building that's had several different things in it, but it doesn't go any further than that. And it's not across the street. There are a couple of residences across the street, and it's not on that side of the street.
Right.
So it's sort of in and out and around.
And then on the other direction, it doesn't cover the Westmark Hotel, for instance.
It doesn't do the Westmark.
Sergeant Preston's would be.
But it does do... Moore's House,
mm-hmm.
down to APT. APT is not in it.
No.
The Dead Animal Museum along Spring Street is not in it. Mostly Spring Street isn't in it.
Right.
I guess that's true. And some things, it goes almost over to Spring Street, but not quite. On which street is that? Must be 3rd. No, 4th. Hardware store's on 4th.
Right.
There was a historic house right behind
the hardware store.
And it had been so badly treated in maybe its last 10 years that we went into it, we looked at it, we considered all sorts of things, and we finally said, yes, you can tear it down. And that was kind of a hard decision, because we hated to see it go, but there was really no way they could they wanted to tear it down. We considered having to move it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were afraid that it wouldn't be able to be moved, wouldn't be able to be picked up, that they had changed it so many times. I knew the guy who owned it and had been in the house back when he owned it. And when I went in to look at it for this, it had been changed terribly. The people who had owned it had built walls and stuff to make it house maybe 6 or 8 people,
right,
as opposed to one. But it goes and went over, I think it went all the way over to Spring Street there, because we had a new building on the corner. I can't remember his name. He's on the council now. He's a real estate.
I have no idea.
Evaluator. He built an apartment building on the end. That was one of the new buildings we did.
That new apartment building have to be historic district appropriate? Or it was all outside of the perimeter?
It was still inside, and it's a very simple building. It's not a lot of decorative work, but it pretty much followed everything. And then they built all those new ones on Second Street across from the depot.
Oh, Steve Heights area.
Steve Heights
and
the liquor store,
the two of them that are next to it. Yeah, all that.
That's
was,
all new.
Yeah, all that's new.
But it looks. That's why I said, oh, it's new, because it looks appropriate to the time.
Yeah.
And did you have a particular date range that people had to build to look like?
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was?
Mm-hmm. I can't give it. It doesn't go to 1920.
Right, okay.
It doesn't go that far. It doesn't go 20 years.
And those rules were already in place when you got on the commission.
Yeah.
So that somebody else fought about all that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Glenda did a lot of that. Glenda Choate.
Yeah, well, she did. She had a historical research business for a while,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 So, you know, as a business person, how did it feel to have to abide by all this stuff? And did it feel, was it a burden?
I thought it was fun. And like I said, we got people dressed up sometimes. We tried to stick to the era. There were rules about, I had to go get my signs approved and things like that. But it didn't seem like it was bad. But that was 93.
Mm-hmm.
And by 2003, lots of things had changed.
Such as?
The amount of people that came through town.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like the jewelry stores from the Caribbean had moved into Skagway for their winter. So that, you know, it was an off-season sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That everything was deductible, it looked like. The personnel were different. People started shopping for memories as opposed to things. There was a lot of big difference. We had slick-looking jewelry salesmen would stand out on the boardwalk.
And was that allowed?
Not if they were selling out there, which they assured us they weren't.
But they definitely say, oh, come in and look at my
uh-huh.
stuff.
Yeah, that's what they would do. Yeah.
And that's allowed?
Yeah. We already went through what the HDC could do. I mean,
right.
Unless there was somebody being a sleuth out there, no way to prove things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
who approved what businesses would come into town?
Any business can come into town that wants to. Oh, there was somebody who tried to get permission to do those machines that they did have a post, but
like
then
a
they
Segway?
Just floated. Yeah,
those Segway
somebody
tours?
Tried to get Segway tours, and they didn't get in. The council went after them. They said, no, we don't want you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, anybody, if they have to get a business license and apply to the city says yes to everybody. The city doesn't have rules about this is Gold Rush appropriate as a business.
No. No. And one of the Southeast stores put a limit on the number of jewelry stores that could
one
be
there.
One
of the Southeast communities?
Southeast communities, yeah. Put a limit on how many jewelry stores could be there. And Skagway never did that. They said, we can't do that.
All right. What was the... Well, when you were doing it, were most of the owners local business people? Or was there still this people come for the summer and leave?
It was... There were a lot more.
A lot more which?
A lot more that were locally owned.
When you were doing
when
it.
I first started.
Yeah.
Yeah. And little by little off they went.
Yeah.
Because people would come in and offer them a lot of money. Sometimes they'd sell their building. Betsy Albecker sold her. She had a building on the corner of... It was Keller's. So I think it's right across the street from the Mascot. That would have been Third. She sold that building.
I think the Jewels sold their building. William and Anthony. That's corner of Fifth. Southwest corner of Fifth. And
yeah, I was wondering if buildings might still be owned by one person and they lease out the operation, the business space to somebody else. That happens.
Yeah. That happened. Well, I said Keller's, and it's not Keller's. Keller's is up on...
Well, Betsy Albecker was...
she was Barbara like on third.
Deadman Kalin's daughter.
Right, yeah.
So was it Deadman's Photoshop?
No, that got sold just recently.
Okay.
Her Betsy's daughter sold that just recently.
So Betsy had a different building.
Yeah, she had the one across the street from the Mascot.
Okay.
And Keller's is up. That's Jim Hamilton's building, and he has leased that several times. He had Little Switzerland was in there for a while, and then Kara Cosgrove got a hold of it, and she kept trying to get him to sell it to her, and he was into leasing it, and he told her he would sell it to her, and then he said no, he wasn't going to sell it to her. So she quit doing her store.
So if there's a building owner and then a lessee for the business, who's responsible for going to the historic district and making sure everything meets their standards?
It just depends on who wants to do it. The business owner is the one that should do it. If it's a matter of the building itself, then it ought to be the building owner. So,
if it's painting it, it might be the owner. If it's the sign, it might be the business.
Yeah.
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 So as the, when you were doing Kitty's Buttonhole, what was your relationship like with the Park Service as a business owner to the Park Service? And you can say whatever you want. There are no restrictions here. That's why I'm asking, is because they do want to know.
In the beginning, it was pretty good. There was a time when I was having issues with the maintenance guys, and I cannot remember his name. I've been trying to remember his name. He lived up the hill, and he was a good friend, and he got really disgusted with me. But I complained because little things that they could do, you know, on non-ship days or a different time of the day, they didn't. They'd come and do it right when everybody else was there, which is sort of annoying. And of course, we always hated the freight guys because the freight guys came at the wrong time too. But my biggest complaint with the Park Service came when it was time for my lease to be up, and I had to do another. If I wanted to stay there, I'd do another lease. So I put in for. For a re-up, but they had raised the rent by 30% or something. I'm down the alley. It's hard to get people to go down the alley. I never knew when I was going to make any money. And so I put in for less than they said. Okay, so the lease was going to be up at the end of the year. They started this like in February. I needed to know by the 4th of July whether I was going to have the place or whether I needed to sell everything at rock bottom and get rid of it. And they wouldn't tell me, and they wouldn't tell me, and they wouldn't tell me because some guy that was a tour op had also bid on the building, and he'd bid the full amount. And the superintendent couldn't make up his mind. He didn't want the tour op in there, but I had not bid
High enough for the rent.
High enough to make it a regular bid. And and it went on and on and on. In August, I finally wrote Senator Stevens and said, you know, maybe the Park Service shouldn't have buildings that they lease out. If they don't understand what the business community has to do, then maybe they shouldn't have the rentals. And I guess I caused an uproar. Stevens got into it. I'd met Stevens being a reporter. Mm-hmm. I generally just vote for people that I really like. He's the only one who came and looked when we had the oil spill. He's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to bat for me, I guess. And I got a letter from the legal representative for the Park Service that said, you didn't put in a good enough bid. But that hadn't ever been, I mean, easy enough for somebody to say that.
In July.
In March, right. Maybe, you know. Reed McCluskey comes over and he says, what did you do that for? Why did you put in a low bid? I said, because if no one else bid, you would have given it to me. Oh, yeah, we would have. He'd done it the year before to somebody else. So they were stuck with this guy. I also bid that time, not only on Miss Kitty's, but I also bid on Lynch Kennedy, because that was up. Because I could see this hat store,
mm-hmm.
floor to ceiling. And I didn't know if I wanted to do that or not. But, and I was bidding against somebody who was already in there, and I didn't bid real high. And they hadn't told me about that one either. You know, they hadn't made any of the decisions. So I think Bruce must have been the superintendent at that time.
Noble.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was the one. And we have stopped to see him since then. He's at a park in Colorado.
Yep.
And we went through there and spoke and asked for him, but he was someplace else. So I don't know that he would have wanted to see us anyway. But, so I caused a little furor.
And so the Lynch Kennedy, you didn't get that bid either?
No. And I have no idea. Maybe it would. All the information came out after that. I got him to move. I got him to do something. So I was like, okay, fine. And I got rid of the rest of my stuff and got out and said, okay, killed Miss Kitty.
So if you had gotten the bid, though, you would have continued in the business?
I don't know. I had more fun doing the books than I did talking to the people. I was getting real disgusted with these people. I'm open from 9 until 6 or 7, and they either all come at one time or they don't, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, how was it as a business? Was it successful running a hat business?
It was successful. I made money, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't real thrilled doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I had more fun doing the books.
Yeah.
So the last 3 or 4 years of my lease, I took all the accounting classes through distance ed out of Juneau. And so when the store was gone, that's okay. I started doing payroll and bookkeeping and stuff for everybody in town. Mm-hmm. And so I had another career to go. I talked to my advisor at the school and said, so what do I do to get a degree? She said, she already got a degree. Why get a degree? Go take your test. I was like, okay. So I went and took the test with the IRS. And I'm an enrolled agent, which means I'm a tax accountant.
Great. And what did you do during the winters when you ran Miss Kitty's?
We'd go to shows. We'd plan and think about things and what we could do.
So you'd go like buying shows in the lower 48? So
yeah.
You'd buy shows?
I went once to Anchorage, but everybody else was there. I went once to Seattle, but everybody else was there. So I went to San Francisco. I went to Atlanta. I went to, where's that other one? There was another one, Texas, I think. The one I found that I really liked the most was Vegas. And go down to Vegas and have 4 days, and they open up that big convention center. It's the Men's Apparel and Gifts show. And they had miles of men's suits. I took John once in there. But he'd get so distracted. He was like, come on, we're not going to buy this. But they started having a women's apparel and gifts and a children's apparel gift in conjunction with the other ones. So I was able to do all my shopping right there. And that worked well. The first time I went to a buying show, that first year that I bought the store, I slipped on the ice outside of the Eagles on New Year's Eve and broke my leg.
Oh, no.
It was the leg. And so I was in a wheelchair when we went down to Seattle. And Nola Cole was with me. She was dealing with hemorrhoids. And Eileen Smith was with us. And I forget what she lived in. Seattle, I think, but they'd push me around and leave me for a while and go do something else, and then we'd get back together, and they'd sort of taught me how to do the buying. And with apparel, everything, it's like the hats. I told you, one small, two medium, two large, one extra large. That's pretty much what you get with any sort of apparel. Even lingerie comes that way. Hmm. So you sort of have to...
Yeah, I say, how did you learn the business of, how did you know where to go to buy, and how did you even know that you're supposed to go to shows?
I went and talked to a couple of operators in town that I knew well, that had shops, and talked to them. Talked to Dave Hunz's wife. Talk to me about shows. And she doesn't have that store anymore. Somebody else does. It's across the street from Duff's. It wasn't then. Where was it then? It was on Broadway.
And then what was the relationship like with the park, just with other businesses and the community?
I think there's a love-hate relationship between the city and the park. And I think that is spotted throughout the community. It's government, you know. And there was a real fear, I think, when the park moved in, exactly what they were going to do. And you still hear it in the council. Division between the two. Where did I see that? There was HDC. There was somebody on the HDC. I think that had to do with the new cribs that they put in. Somebody from the Eagles was on the HTC and voting against the cribs being able to be there.
Because they're just across the alley.
Because they're right across the alley. And just the proximity was getting too close there. I was having government agents right across the right across the alley. I suppose that's what it was, as much as anything. But... there's a sense of distrust of the government that's just sort of built in. And I think that it hits all walks. I mean, if the individual person was faced with the governing of the city... and the governing of the park, they'd back away from both of them. But when it's the two, they're going to take their city, because at least those are the people that live there all the time and that mm-hmm. are accountable. And I don't know how much the park is and the park people integrate into the city. So many of the park people come for the summer.
Right.
And they don't. I'm not I've always wondered if there are some sort of rules about participating. It seems to me there were that Carl ran into him being on the HDC.
He was a member of the HDC, not just the Park Service rep?
Yes.
Oh.
He was a member.
I didn't know that.
And I think it was the park that told him he couldn't do that.
Probably.
And he'd been on there for a long time. They were kind of late coming to the party to suddenly decide that. But, yeah.
Because I know that they do have somebody who attends the HDC meetings, but they're not a voting member.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But Carl used to sit right at the table with us. And even when they took his vote away from him, we still wanted him up at the table with us.
Right.
Because we'd be talking about things and say, wait a minute, Carl, tell us something, you know. Yeah. And he could always
just come up with something. Because he's been a historian there for 30 years or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about, well, you mentioned that, you know, the park, a lot of people are only there in the summer. But the business tourism community, now a lot of them are only there in the summer, too. Is there a conflict between local businesses and those visiting businesses?
For starters, there's not a lot of local businesses anymore.
Right. But when you were doing it...
Yeah. Well, you tended not to know them.
Mm-hmm.
There was... There's some who have been coming for year after year after year,
mm-hmm.
and they're well known in the community, and they're involved in the community. And that's mm-hmm. a difference from the people who just come for the summer and only for their business, and they're not interested in the community itself. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Okay. Was there pushback from local businesses on these HDC rules and regulations? Like, you have to have your sign written in the right font and the colors?
I was not there when the HDC started
mm-hmm.
and when those rules went into place. But, so
by the time you were on it, people were okay with following those rules?
Oh, no, they'd keep complaining, or they'd want their own or something like that, but... It was all laid out. I mean, we even had all the fonts were there. We updated them to offer more because it was getting into the digital age when people could do them themselves. You know, they didn't have to use stencils from something. And there's always complaints. It seemed to be that the ones that... complained about a lot of things, and you sort of expected it out of them after a while. But the rules were in the laws.
Mm-hmm.
So,
were there ever any people who said, "Oh, I don't forget it. I'm leaving." They didn't get what they wanted, and so they didn't start their business there.
No. If they decided to go into business. They did it. I'm trying to think of... We almost had trouble with that group, that last group, that last block, that eight mm-hmm. street, 8 to 9. And they came in with a plan one time to build an arch from one building to the other side of the street. This big arch, because they were trying to pull people up the street.
Some people don't walk that far. It's only six blocks or something, but they don't walk that far. And it's just like me trying to get people down the alley. You know, you're trying to find something. And I understood what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing in our history that had anything like that out there. And we voted against it. And if they don't like our vote, they're allowed to appeal it to the council. And mm-hmm. several people had done that for different things. And they tried it, but the council didn't go with them either. So they lost out.
Yeah, that does seem a little bit outside of the historic guidelines.
Well, there was nothing in there that addressed it at all. So we had to really think and come up with some our reasons.
Were there other ones where, that it wasn't in the guidelines and you had to think and added something new?
Oh, well, Corinton put in a and I think he just put it in without any approval and then came to us, tended to do things like that. It was a 6-foot Indian, cigar store Indian. And there had been a cigar store Indian, of course, in Skagway years ago. But this was Chief, what's-his-face, you know, with the headdress and all, and it just, we're like, what? And, but the rules on mannequins and statues and things said that they had to be full life and look like that, you know, and it did. So there was nothing we could do. And he had to chain it to the building, and one day it disappeared and went up the hill someplace.
Even though it was chained to the building.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't add into the regulations cigar store Indians are okay.
No.
You just made that decision.
Yeah.
What about their garden at the corner? Don't they have a garden at the corner of one of their buildings, the Corringtons?
Well, there's a... The rhubarb plant is at the corner of 5th. There's another area where there's... Oh, that's Park Service. Park Service put a kid's garden in with... Because I gave him my wheelbarrow. I thought it was Sophie Smith's wheelbarrow.
Because I know there's a garden in one of the lots. And that's okay by HDC standards to have a garden.
Well, we dealt with Skagway Inn when they wanted to put in their garden,
mm-hmm.
and we talked a lot. I mean, gardens are historic in Skagway,
right.
So we had no problem with that. It was some of the things that they wanted to put in there. They wanted to put. I can't remember if it was a tent or a pavilion of some sort. And then we questioned the materials they were using and stuff. And I think we didn't agree with it because I don't think it ever went in. There was an arch of one sort, and that did go in and was approved. But it was materials. It was the materials they were using that we were concerned about. The garden was fine. We got mm-hmm. no problem with gardens.
Okay. So why did you end up becoming a member of the HDC?
To be a part of my community, to be helpful, and I think probably Casey told me that they needed, you have to have a certain number of business people who have downtown mm-hmm. Businesses that are on the HDC. And so I said, okay. I went and joined the Eagles right away. I served 4 terms as a president, five times as a president. So and, I just get involved.
Right. And did you enjoy the work that you did with the HDC?
Some of it.
So do you have examples of what you enjoyed and what you didn't?
Some of it is the people that I had to deal with.
Was the good or the bad or both?
The bad. I mean, the ones that I knew would lie to me no matter what, just to get what they wanted. that I never really trusted. I didn't like that so much. I really didn't like the employee that gave us so much trouble. Generally just doing my part and working with the other members on the commission, I enjoyed. I enjoyed the times when we reworked things. We'd go through and edit stuff and try to update what we had.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. I was on there for a long time.
Do you remember how long?
I did two different stints because I quit for a while when the city manager had given me so much trouble. And then I went back on later. And then I had ran into the city manager and the mayor, just being so staunchly not listening to me about what was going on. It must have been near 20 years.
Hmm.
Just not all in one thing.
Right. Is there anything in particular you're especially proud of that you accomplished in that time on that commission?
If anything, it would be that keeping the downtown area looking like 1898.
Mm-hmm.
It was work, but... the town is impressive, mm-hmm. I think, when you first go in there. We had one problem that we found. Like, how did this happen? They built a cement-based barbecue area across the street from the Starfire.
Hmm.
And had not ever come to HDC. And we didn't get very far. We couldn't get rid of it. We wanted them to at least put in a... cover the cement with wood, you know? Right. Put them... wood, do this, do that. And that was in the time that we had the unhelpful person helping us. The other thing they did was they moved a building, the old Union building, from 2nd Street over to across from the Starfire. And it and left it at an angle somewhat and all boarded up. They had said, we had told them they could move it. That was real early of me getting on here. We had told them that they could move it over there, but they had to make sure there was good foundation under it. And I can't remember who built that building. Maybe that was Brenna built the building across from the depot, because that's where it used to be.
I don't know.
And we called them in to talk about it, and they assured us that it was just fine. And we can't force our way in to look or to do anything like that. The owner said, "Oh no, it's fine. It's all taken care of. It's fine." That was disappointing.
Yeah. So that was one of my questions: is there something that you wish you could have done that you weren't able to do?
Take care of that building.
Yeah.
Concerned about it.
Well, I know you have to get off to your next thing.
I haven't even turned my computer on yet.
So, thank you. I have lots more questions, but I'll let you go, and maybe
we can do it after lunch.
More later, after I talk to John.
Uh huh.
And I'll stop us for now.